I worked at a station, WNDE. There were two top 40 stations, mm-hmm. Windy and Wife.
Uh-huh.
There was WNDE and WIFE.
Right.
Windy was the better rated of the two, but they both really stunk. There was an FM station that was killing us. So one night, Kiss is in town, and the guy from the record company takes me and the disco dentist, who was another one of the DJs. We're going to go downtown Indianapolis to see Kiss. WNDE was located in the suburbs. WIFE, the competing station, was right downtown Indianapolis. As a matter of fact, they made a big deal about, this is 13 Wife broadcasting from the window of the world, mm-hmm. because their studios were literally like in a department store window downtown.
Okay. Ah.
So we're on our way to the concert, and we go past Wife, the other station. We stop the car, and now it's the record guy, the guy for the record company, the disco dentist, and me. And he says, what are you guys, why are we stopping the car? So we want to see what the station's like, because mm-hmm. we work at the competing radio.
Right, it's your competition. Right.
So the record guy says, I can't be a part of this. He waits out in the car. So the disco dentist and I go up. This is like 7 o'clock in the evening. So the only person in the station is the night jock, the guy who you can see in
right.
the window.
Right.
So the disco dentist and I are standing out at the window, and we do that thing where he gets done with a break, and he looks outside, and we knock it like, can we come in? So he comes over to the front door, this is how radio used to be, and goes, mm-hmm. you know, hey, can I help you? And we go, man, we're really interested in radio, and it's so cool the way you got things set up here. Mm-hmm. Have I ever told you this?
No, never.
The guy says, really? Do you really like it? We said, man, and your show's the greatest. You know, the guy doesn't know that we work at across town.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we ended up getting invited in.
Right.
Say, can we watch you do the show from inside? The guy says, sure. Now, the next thing you know, we're standing inside the studio. Now, the guy from the record company is outside in the car, and he can see that we're standing in the studio.
So does he have you tuned in?
No. Now, we don't do anything. There was nothing on the air that was
okay.
Done.
All right.
Here's what's going on, though. They've got, like, the format clocks on the wall.
Right, right.
And everything. And as the disco dentist would be talking to him, I would go to the other side of the room, and it would be, like, Wife Hot Format 1.
Uh-huh.
I'd rip it off the wall and put it in my pocket.
Right.
And we had great fun, like, asking the guy all kinds of dumb questions, like, gosh, how do you answer a phone call on the radio? And he's like, watch, I'll show you. You record it, and it
right.
comes through your headphones while you're playing the
and
record.
And he has no clue.
Now, here's the thing. We couldn't be happy enough with this.
Right.
And this is why I mentioned this. I'm glad that Chuck wrote me to relate this story.
Why, was he really a dentist? Is that why they called him the disco dentist?
Yeah, he was going to dental school.
Okay, all right.
Chuck Crane, the disco dentist.
Very good.
He was my best buddy there. So we leave the studio, and it's not enough of a goof that we've gotten into Wife. And keep in mind, this is, of course, before cell phones, before you could call anybody,
yeah,
you know,
right.
to say, hey, guess where I am? Guess what we did?
Right.
So we leave the studio, and the guy says, and the guy was actually very cool. The guy said, all right, thanks for coming, and you can let yourselves out. So we leave the studio, and now we're in the outside reception area.
Yeah.
And I will take the blame on this. I was the instigator.
Right.
I was the first one that went over to the gold record on the wall
mm-hmm.
and took it off and threw it on the floor.
Oh.
Then he went over to where there was like some MS, March of Dimes, congratulations, WIFE right. thing on the wall.
Naked vandalism.
He threw it on the
floor. You hooligans.
He threw it on the floor.
You hooligans.
Meanwhile, you know, you might be wondering, how come the disc jockey's not hearing this? Because he's in the soundproof
right.
studio,
right.
which is two whole rooms away. He's, as far as he knows, we're these two nice guys that he just let in. We even, like, he gave us, like, his the hotline number to call him sometimes. Poor schmuck. I mean, we were out of our minds with vandalism with this place. And when we finally, and I remember, I'm so glad I got the email, because what happened was, we were just going crazy. We were in a lobby about the size of this studio, Mike, and it had the bad fake paneling,
right?
Like what's her name? Like Carrie Underwood's house.
Okay.
Okay. And it had all these plaques and gold records. We broke everything.
Mm-hmm.
We broke everything they had on the wall.
Wow.
We turned over chairs. And at one point, we hear this. We hear, and it's the record guy. And he's like, what the F are you guys doing? Wait, get out of here. What, are you stupid? Get out of here. And, you know, we go, oh, Jesus Christ, look at this mess. So we go to the concert. Now we're at the concert, and everything's cool. And there are people from all these stations there.
Oh, right.
Now, again, it's before cell phone.
Yep.
So we're sitting at the concert, and it's afterwards, and we're waiting to meet Kiss. And, of course, the program director for the station is there. The record guy is there, and he's like the emissary between everybody.
Right.
And this guy, all of a sudden, someone comes over and says, there's an emergency call. You got to get the call. And the guy comes back, and he says, and then we're both sitting there like we're friends, right, with this guy with the other radios. He says, Jesus Christ, you're not going to believe, I don't know what the hell happened tonight. You know, my Nike jock, you know, Mick Bozo, whatever his name is, a couple of guys in, and they just tore the place apart. I mean, the cops are coming to look to see what went on. You know,
and meanwhile, you're looking at your other guy like,
oh. We are so dead. Because, I mean, we did stuff like, if this would be the gold record, okay, it wouldn't be enough to smash it against the wall. What we would have to do, we'd stand there, we'd go like this, we'd go, and,
right.
I mean, up and down, and smashing it. And the moral of the story is, go ahead and do it, because you'll never get caught.
God, what a lovely life lesson.
And then talk about it after the statute of limitations has run out.
I would have talked about it earlier
sure.
if I would have remembered it.
Right.
But it was the one secret. I remember when he and I left that night, left that concert.
We never, ever share this secret.
There are a lot of things that you bond with guys about, people about, but it was like, listen, you know, man, no matter what, I mean, we are finished in the business because I guess we probably did a couple $100 worth of damage.
Right,
I mean, it was real freaking juvenile.
Plastic spray painted records, you know, that's it.
Yeah. And all of their...
Did he ever, like, follow you out as you were leaving or
did you make
a clean escape?
No, what he said was, you guys know the way out. Go ahead. See you later. And you had to go through the double doors,
right?
You know, the soundproof doors,
right?
And then you would just walk through the lobby, and he just trusted us,
right?
Wow.
And we trashed the place. And then that night, the program director
was there ever any inkling of it? Did it ever get back to you at all?
No, my God, no.
Good times.
As a matter of fact, I think I'm not really sure. I think we may have told our program director,
right?
We may have told him, and I think he may have said something like, "I don't want to even know this."
Right,
But he loved it. It was one of those.
Well, it was warfare in those days.
Yeah,
it still is to a certain extent.
I just got
to
know: was he really a dentist?
Yeah,
was he really?
I thought he was going to dental school,
and
he became a dentist. And
now he is a successful dentist.
Right.
I think, like in Sarasota.
And
Florida?
He is the kind of dentist who will go to other dentist's office and smash the dentures.
That's what he will do.
But he's not just a disco dentist now.
No,
any format.
Isn't he more like the dentist in Little Shop of Horrors? Does this hurt you?
Steve Martin with dark hair.
Right.
Wow.
13 Wife, WIFE, Window of the World, and the guys in there like putting on a show for us, like we're two mooks. That's like, we were like, how do you know how to talk? And,
I'm sure they had a new policy after that happened.
How do you know what record to play? Gosh.
No cameras either.
No, kidding. 1979. You know, great. I just remember the guy from the record company. And the guy from the record company had been so uptight because...
Of course. You were even going in there.
Well, he thought that it may have been brought on by... some partying that he had.
I see. No,
he felt responsible.
Not at all.
we would have done that if we had done that stuff or not.
But you have grown up because I can sense that you're filled with remorse now.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Thank God that could never happen again.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, listen, I'm not proud of the story.
Yes,
I guess
you are.
I am proud of it.
Yeah.
I am proud of it. Because back in the day when one radio station, I mean, it was like, you know, the good guys, my ass, they're the good guys.
Right.
Good guys.
It was warfare.
Screw them.
And he should have kept his guard up.
That's right.
Yes, Don, it was his fault. It was the disc jockey's fault that was on the air.
Right.
I should have kept that door locked tight. You'd never let two strangers in there.
I blame the
record
guy.
To trash your radio station. That would be it.
I was always very careful about the strangers I let in. Yes.
Good.
Very careful. Anyway, how you doing? If you're listening out there, anybody out there listening, Disco Dentist.
Disco Dentist.
Thank you for the email.
Now is he still drilling teeth?
Yeah, I guess so. He is a successful dentist.
Mm-hmm. Good.
As a matter of fact,
he'd take full teeth and then he smashes them.
I bet
with a hammer
that this would be. You didn't even notice it.
What?
Never mind.
Wow.
What?
Oh, he said it.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah,
see, you were paying attention.
I
never pay attention to that.
Hey, no, it doesn't count because you didn't catch him.
The detection system didn't work.
No, I didn't. No, deprive him once.
It can't work.
No.
It won't work.
You got to notice it, Rob.
I did notice it.
No, you didn't. Yeah, no, I turned around and I said, did you hear that? And you were, what are you enjoying for lunch? Or what are you?
Sound travels slowly.
What were you contemplating? You're sitting back there like the goddamn thinker, like that statue.
You did a lot of vandalism at school, didn't you, Rob?
Me? Yeah. Vandalized the bathroom.
He did the bad kind, Mike. Hate crime kind. That's all.
You know.
Yes.
Yes. But a lot of those investigations are still open, Rob.
Yeah, they're pending.
They're pending.
There you go.
No conviction.
That's for you.
Okay. Click, click, click.
It's so quick now. I appreciate that.
We all benefit.
You know, maybe we could follow that up. Gosh, I wish I had this guy's number. You know that that program director, Bill Garcia, the one that you hated, Buzz?
Yeah, I remember him well.
We were going to call him at one point on the show.
He's
another guy that sent a letter. Oh, crap, I lost his phone number. Because he was my program director at that station.
I think he hates me more than I hate him.
Is that
oh, really?
It's close, but
what
I think
makes
he
you
might
think
have
he hates
edge.
You?
Well, as you know me so well, he believes I'm a loose cannon.
Ah.
Well, you are.
That's what you are.
Yeah.
Look up loose cannon in the dictionary. They got
my
Buzz's
picture
there.
That's right. Dad, I ain't got his phone number.
Oh, that's
sorry
too bad.
About that. You know, well, it's in a stack of something at
we
home.
Need this encounter.
What was this?
For
this
closure.
Is another radio guy. Here's another thing I got from a radio guy. Oh, dear Dad, my name is James, and I ask for a few minutes of your time. Apparently, this guy gave us an air check of himself. An air check is a tape a disc jockey sends out to get a job.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And we played it on the air, and it was awful, and we made fun of it, but it's okay. Let's see. Being aware of your tendency towards guidance and support of broadcasters, I have sent you a letter along with my brand new tape.
So he knows the joke.
In the hopes of getting some feedback from you. No, I think this. Now, see, I think the guy. I think he knows we're going to goof on it, but it's like he's seriously looking for something.
Right? Okay.
Sure. He writes, a year ago, I took the job as the morning man at WKWI-FM in Kilmarnock Rock, Virginia. Kilmarnock Rock.
Kilmarnock. I've never heard of it.
If you don't know where it is, you're not alone. It's the end of the world. I moved down here from D.C. to learn radio, pay my dues, and get back home.
Wow.
I have no expectations as a result of this correspondence. At best, I hope down on the road, somewhere in my career, your words will come in handy. All right, well, let's hear it. Apparently, we trashed him the first time we played his tape. I don't really remember it, but here he is now, the new and improved James Slater.